This summer, in much of our preaching, we have spent a lot of time on the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, which is a good and important thing to do as we are connected with those sacred texts. The story of the Jewish people is our story too. But there is a reason that I'm a Christian, many, I suppose. I wasn't born into Christianity, but when I started learning about Jesus as an adult and about our faith, it grabbed me. In large part because of what I'm preaching about today, what life in Christ offers, what it means, and what it promises. Today is the feast day of the Transfiguration. The Transfiguration being that event recorded in Scripture when Jesus and his close friends go up the mountain, and there Jesus is transfigured, transformed before their eyes. Thomas Keating describes it in this way: Jesus was transfigured, that is to say, the divine source of his human personality poured out through every pore of his body in the form of light. His face became dazzling as the sun. Even his clothes shared in the radiance of the inner glory that was flowing throughout his body. He shines. The light comes forth from him. Hey, Moses and Elijah are there. Spirit beings of some kind? That's not really explained. But there they are, representing, again, this connection to our roots. They are representing the law and the prophets. And God speaks. This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him. He is the one for whom you have waited, who brings together the law and the prophets and the new creation that is coming into being. This is the one to whom we want to listen, as Jesus, the Christ, has the words of life, divine life, eternal life. And eternal life begins now as we live into it, and it also speaks to us of heaven. Life in Christ is life transformed, because all who are in Christ, all who have been baptized into his body, as we say, all who are in Christ are a new creation. And we, as the church, we are the community of the new creation. In the Gospel of Luke, right before this scene, Jesus has been transforming the lives of others, healing people and ridding them of their demons. The feeding of the 5,000 takes place. And Jesus keeps speaking of the kingdom of God that is drawing near, that is coming into being. Quite a bit before all that, back in chapter 4 of Luke, Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah about the poor receiving good news, the blind seeing, and the prisoners and the oppressed finding freedom, and the year of the Lord's favor coming, dawning, and stating, Jesus states, that in all of these promises of justice and peace and healing, all of this is actually fulfilled in him, right then and there. Jesus goes on and he heals and he helps and he sets people free. And then we get to the mountain of the Transfiguration. Much is about to happen to Jesus and his friends. Soon Jesus will be arrested, and all that talk of the kingdom of God coming near will seem very distant. The reign of God, the peace of God, the justice of God, for which his friends and followers have sought, it will seem to have been a dream as they enter those dark days. And yet, something made the men run back to the tomb when the women told them that Jesus was not dead, but had risen. Were they remembering this moment on the mountain when the impossible was possible, when God spoke and confirmed what they'd been suspecting, that through Jesus, the kingdom of God was being made manifest right then and there. Were they remembering that mountaintop experience when Jesus is named as God's Son, God's chosen, and all that that implied, the Messiah of God, the Christ of God, the Sophia, the wisdom of God? August 6th, this day, is the day of the Transfiguration, but it rarely falls on a Sunday. And you may be thinking, it seems like we heard this reading not too long ago. We did. We've heard it this year because we have it the last Sunday of Epiphany every year, right before Lent starts. Rarely do we hear it in the summer because if the 6th falls on a different day rather than Sunday, we don't celebrate it together on a Sunday. So today we are being reminded that Christ is King, as we are on that last Sunday in Epiphany, and that Sunday and this time, the celebration also is called the Reign of Christ. So Christ the King, the Reign of Christ. We are reminded that even though we are about to enter a desert time and move toward the cross, which is true there on that mountain, whether it's the beginning of Lent or August, that through Jesus, the reign of God has already begun. Every year, the rhythm of church life takes us to the mountain and then down into the valley as we make our way to Jerusalem with Jesus. Ellen, our director of music, is going to love this right now because I'm about to talk about Holy Week. We often say that we should talk about Holy Week way in advance because it's such an important time and we're touching on it today. Holy Week, of course, ends the season of Lent, and many people do not like Lent, and I understand, I get it. Many people do not like Good Friday and so avoid that time as much as they can. But not one of us can avoid Lenten times or Good Fridays in our lives. We can't avoid them as much as we wish we could. Those times of starkness or dryness or fear when we're challenged by forces beyond our control. There are times when the worst thing happens and we feel like we might just die from sadness or grief. Good Fridays can come up at any time of year. And so it's a good thing that the Feast of the Transfiguration comes at this ordinary time, when we're not in a major season of the church, but are focused on living our lives day to day, knowing what we know about God and ourselves. We are reminded that mountaintops and valleys can come at any time, and that God is with us and has a word of comfort and hope for us. Jesus was transfigured on the mountain and died on the cross so that God could be with us in it all. I say every Good Friday, I take that theology of substitutionary atonement, I like to crush it into tiny little pieces and focus us on the fact that Jesus died on the cross. Yes, we all have done things wrong, but not because we are sinners, but because God loves us. That the world was rough, and the love and the inclusion and the peace and the justice that Jesus spoke of and lived and represented, there were forces in the world, just as there are now, that did not want that. So he didn't have to die, but in a way he was going to because he wouldn't pull back. He was fully authentic, living God in our world, and people didn't like that. Just like people don't always like us when we are fully authentic, we are standing up for justice and what's right. And so God's been there and can be with us in it every minute. In those hard times, we can remember Jesus on the mountain And in prayer, we can consider what the gift of seeing his glory means for us, how that transfiguration, as I've been trying to connect us with today, is connected to all that he was, all that he did. We can be with this scene, this image, remembering it. It can take us there. Are we overwhelmed by awe and wonder? Are we afraid like Peter and the others were? In Matthew's account, Jesus puts his hand on their shoulders and reassures them. Imagine Jesus putting his hand on your shoulder and reassuring you that everything will be all right, even better than all right. And we know what Jesus says is true. There's so much more to faith and life that we can understand. But there on that mountain, we see the goodness and we see the power of God for us and for our world. The transfiguration showed that. So Peter says, this is really good. Let's build some booths, right? Let's build some booths and stay here. But no, Jesus says, we need to go down the mountain, taking this mountaintop experience into the ups and downs of life, facing our fears, knowing that we are not alone. Even looking into the darkness, we know that the darkness will not have the last word, because through Christ, the new creation has already begun. And we are one with God through Christ in the power of the Spirit, already part of the new creation. We can't stay on the mountaintop. We need to come down and live this hope with this energy that sustains us and inspires us to be the people of the new creation, because the world needs us. The world needs you. The world needs you being in the fullness of who you are, inspired by what you know about God and Jesus and the Spirit, to be people of God's reign now, to be people who strive for justice and peace among all. We have to leave the mountaintop, as Jesus and the others had to do, but we can go there again and again in prayer, into that scene of transfiguration, or remembering praying about a time in your life when you saw the glory of God in your life, or in the life of another, or in a situation when it surprised you and filled you with wonder, awe, hope. In his book, Becoming Christ, Brian Taylor speaks of ways that we can be transformed through Christ. His book focuses on contemplative silent prayer, but he rightly notes that all sorts of prayer, service to others, outreach, and connecting with creation, the earth, among other things, can lead us and help us to be transformed, to be more and more in the image of Christ. Taylor quotes Paul's letter to the Galatians, "For freedom, Christ has set us free," going on to say, "This is the aim of the Christian life. We are called into Christ's life, and Christ was nothing if not free. He was free to live without fear, trusting in God's nearness and love. He was free to speak and act according to the direction of the Spirit without regard for the cost. He was free to live without attachment or anxiety, in complete joy and deep peace. He was free to love everyone without condition, without limit." Taylor goes on, "We cannot achieve this freedom by wishing it or by deciding that we are going to be that way. We must undergo a journey of transformation. We must die to our false selves and allow Christ's life to resurrect within us. On this journey, we become transfigured in Christ's light." This is the journey that we can't take staying on the mountaintop, be that a great time in our lives or an amazing spiritual experience. If anything, this whole idea of going into the valley is helpful because if you're not in a valley now, you will be. I will be. And to realize it's not the opposite of God, but it's all part of God. The mountaintop experiences of grace have their purpose, and it is an important one. They are to be valued and remembered. There may be times when we see Christ in glory shining forth, and there may be times when all we can see is death on the cross. But the mountaintop experiences, and as I'm saying, the valley experiences, are not opposites, but rather part of the whole process of transformation, of becoming who we are for God, for ourselves, and for others. In the mountaintop experiences, we have known God, even if we've not named that experience as God. On the mountain of transfiguration, Peter and James and John came to know that Jesus was the Christ of God, and for them that would make all the difference. May we know the joy of Christ in glory. And we pray, dear God, to know Christ's glory in our dark valley times. Help us to be aware that we are part of God's new creation. Help us to know that through Christ, we are your new creation, O God. Thank you for bringing us down into the midst of life so that we may serve you by serving others. Amen.
Join me on page 358 for the reading of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one unnamed Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of God. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped by the Lord God. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life.